I want to mention to you in the prayer focus are a lot of names. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for those folks. There are others that aren't in the prayer focus this morning. Some are in hospitals. Some are in surgery right at this moment. Some are at home very, very ill. But the Lord knows all of these circumstances. I want to encourage you to be people of prayer. And so, with that in mind, as you look through that prayer list today and this week, please lift up those families. Let's pray now. Father, thank you for knowing what we're going through. There are some families going through heaviness and difficulty today. There are other families that have lost their loved one, which makes things very difficult. There are those in hospital beds
and nursing homes and just having
difficulties in their personal lives and their health. We pray for them. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be with us here this morning. We ask, Father, that as we look at Scripture, your Spirit would speak to us. We have, in fact, come to worship you, Lord, as we have just sung, "All glory be to Christ." That is what our hearts and our minds say, O God. All glory be to you, O God. All glory be to you, Lord Jesus. And may your Spirit be here with us this morning, enlightening us as we worship you. And so as we lift up those names on the prayer focus and many more, Father, we pray thy will be done. And I do pray again for the churches all around our community that you would be there, that your presence, your Spirit would guide and direct, and you would be glorified. Thank you for this day that we could come together safely. Thank you that the roads are not covered in ice. Thank you that we can take time from the week and set aside for corporate worship like this. Thank you for all that have come. Guide us now as we continue our worship of you, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wanted to mention to you, because several have asked, I did have a follow-up with my surgeon on Friday, and I did have a PSA check, and praise be to God, the PSA number is undetectable. And so I praise God for that. And as I said last week, thank you so much for your prayers. God has been so good to me. I'm so thankful even to be back to work. Sometimes we think of work as drudgery, but I think it of joy. I think of work as serving the Lord as pure joy. Okay, let me embark, because I found out the first service we didn't have time enough quite. So let me get going here. Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible, that's where we're going to be. I invite you to turn there, because I'm going to be referencing a verse in Romans chapter 5 and looking at some in Romans chapter 6, and hopefully, as time allows, we'll look at 1 John chapter 3 a little bit also. Today, most of you know, you've been around here a long time, we're still in our series, this challenge from Jesus, follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Follow me, Jesus invites us. And so we've been on this series for some time, and today's challenge is followers saying no to sin. Now, let me say first and foremost, I realize that the whole sin word is not that popular, okay? I get that. But I also understand we need to see the love of God. We understand the blood of Christ. We understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And in all of that, we need to understand this whole topic called sin. And so, I'm not here to offend. I am here to enlighten and point to us some Scripture again today. Now, Before I read to us the first verse in Romans chapter 6, let me say this about 5. Paul has got this discussion going on about the law. He's talking about the Old Testament Mosaic law and how they lived by that. And he also, in the same conversation, is talking about the grace of God. Because of Jesus, because of God's grace, because of the blood shed on Calvary's tree, he's talking about the grace of God. So he's got this conversation going on in chapter 5, and I'll refer to chapter 5, verse 20 in a couple minutes. But that's what sets the stage for chapter 6. Now, he does say in chapter 5, he reiterates, the law wasn't necessarily what saved them, but the law brought to their attention sin. Paul would say it this way. This is a quote from Scripture. How would I know not to covet if the law didn't say, thou shalt not covet? So that's what he's talking about. The law brings to our attention transgressions and sin against God. And so he talks about that in verse 5, or chapter 5, and he talks about the grace of God. But I want to reiterate what he said. Grace is not a license for the believer to keep living in sin. Chapter 5, he's got that conversation. We get to chapter 6, verse 1. He's been talking about the law enlightening us to sin and the grace that abounds. We get to verse 6, verse 1, chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Okay, we've got this dynamic going on. Law, grace. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's talking to the believers at the Church of Rome and really to us today. Shall we continue then in sin so that grace can be elevated? He answers his own question. He says, no, certainly not. And then he makes another statement to the believers. How shall we who died to sin keep living in it? Or as he says, the New King James Version, live any longer in it. How, if we have come to faith in Christ, if we have surrendered it all, we laid it all on the line, we have decided to follow Jesus, we've got the Holy Spirit of God come into us, he helps with that transformation process, making us from who we used to be to who God desires to be. Paul says, how shall we who have gone through that process, died to sin, live any longer in sin? Then in verse 5, for if we, the people he's talking to, are the church people, the believers in Jesus Christ who have decided to follow Christ, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. After all, the Bible calls us joint heirs with Jesus if we have been born again. Then he says, knowing this, that our old man, that's who we used to be before Christ, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we, followers of Jesus, should no longer be slaves to sin. He's giving the church this directive and reminding them it's a brand new day. And as God has called us out of who we used to be, apart from him, we put our faith in him, we've repented our sin, we've trusted in him for salvation. He's put us on a new course, and he's saying to the church here there, he's saying to the church here to us today, the body of sin who we used to be should be done away with it so we're no longer slaves to that. Verse 7, for he who died has been freed from sin. That means died to the old ways. Paul is referring to that crucified statement that he made just a moment earlier. We've been freed from the bondage and penalty of sin because of the cross. Therefore, he says in verse 12 again, do not let sin reign in our bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness of sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And lastly, his challenge, what then? Because, and he's having this conversation, grace versus the law again. Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And again, he says, absolutely not. Here's the argument, I think, that was going on. And I think it was going on there because I've heard it. I've heard the direct argument. Okay, God, okay, Jim. The Bible says in Romans 5:20, where sin doth abound, grace doth abound more. So even in my sin, God's grace is good to go, and so I'm good to go. The argument was, I can keep living like I used to live in sin and be just fine. He's addressing that argument. I'm going to share from 1 John chapter 3 and show John's perspective on this too. Hebrews chapter 10 is another place if you want to read about this whole remaining in sin thing. But I just want us to think about this for a few minutes this morning. Let me insert here. I was listening to a Francis Chan sermon this week. It's called Be Fishers of Men. And if you happen to be a Francis Chan fan or person that likes to listen to his sermons, Be Fishers of Men is powerful. He says it very, very beautifully, much more adequately and smoothly than I do. But he expressed in that sermon the importance of following Jesus versus just saying I'm a Christian and not following Jesus. He talks about that. And so here's my point. I listened to that sermon and he said this about this. This is the Word of God. And I quote, this book, it used to be revered. It used to be revered more than it is now. And people used to soak in whatever this book said. Now, there has been this rise of feelings and opinions. This book is becoming less and less. People are simply believing what they want to believe. He's right. You've seen it, so have I. And sometimes we've been guilty of it, even in the church. I quote Francis Pastor Chan because, friends, if we discredit this, if we just say, you know what, that's out of date, Jim, or Peter, or James, or John, or Jesus, if we say that is out of date, then we are going to ignore what it says about sin. The law of the Old Testament, he reminds us, enlightens us to the transgressions against God. And praise be to God, there is forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. But in this argument, in Romans 5 and Romans 6, Paul is telling us, as believers, we shall not let sin continue to determine who we are in Christ. It shall not reign in us anymore. Without this, we're unaware of that. And so, all the more important for Francis Chan's observation and statement that said, we used to pay attention to this, but anymore it's about feelings, even in the church. Sometimes it's about opinions. And some opinions, even the church, said, well, that's kind of out of date in that subject matter. I think we know better. And so I simply ask us, friends, are you reading the Word of God? Are you adhering to the Word of God? Because if you're not, it's time to start. It's time to get into the Word of God and let it minister to you and I and us. And I know that the topic of sin is not popular. I understand that. I don't like being told when I'm in sin, whether it's from another believer or from Scripture. But if I am, I need to be told. And you don't like it either. But here's the bottom line, friends. If we, as people, in here, out there, or anywhere else, if we do not address sin, we will die in our sin. And we will be apart from God and apart from Jesus forever. The Bible says clearly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and are coming up short of the glory of God. That's the category we are in outside of Christ, sinners. And I know we don't like to recognize that, but we are, and we need to recognize that, because if we don't recognize that and we die in our sin, we are apart from Jesus, we are apart from God forever. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of that sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. And when Jesus calls us, I've been talking about follow me, follow me, follow me. Jesus is inviting us, follow me. Part of following him is saying no and walking away from the sin that used to ensnare us. And I also realize that there are those that will rationalize, perhaps even to the point of argue, well, Jesus took care of my sin. And that is true. Praise be to God. What was accomplished on the cross took care of the sin of humanity. Amen. That's good news. However, our obligation is, what have we done with our sin? The Bible says in John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. But if we don't address sin, then we will die in sin, even though what's been accomplished on the cross. And if we say, I am a follower of Jesus and continue to live in sin, something is wrong. Something is very, very wrong. Those of you that are here, last week I was talking from Acts chapter 2, verses 37, 8, and 40 and on. But in this powerful sermon of Peter's to the thousands of people that were in Jerusalem that day, he's pouring out this sermon. And he gets to this point where the response from the crowd is, what do we got to do about what you've said about Jesus? And his response, Peter's response, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The first thing he says to the crowds, the first thing that you have to do is repent of sin. You have to address that. Jesus has taken care of it on the cross. But we as individuals, we have to recognize we are sinners. We need a Savior. We need to repent. And as I said before, I'll say it again. I know that we get offended by the Word of God sometimes. It makes us squirm sometimes. It makes me squirm sometimes. I'm going to get to some scripture here in 1 John in just a minute that makes me squirm. The problem I fear today, as I listen to people, talk to people, read, the problem that I fear, one of the problems today is too often people gathered in facilities called churches no longer subscribe to the book. And when the book says something is sin, that doesn't mean we're smarter in the 21st century than they were when they wrote it. It's still sin. The problem that I see today amongst us We do not want to address sin. We want to go with the feeling, well, I'm a pretty good person, I should be all right. That is a very prominent thought outside the walls of the church, but it's also made its way into the church. I'm a pretty good person, I should be okay. Friends, in the eyes of God, we're not a good persons. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus assured the rich young ruler that came and said, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? He said, there's nobody good but God. And so the problem that I see in society that's made its way into the churches, we don't want to dress in because, well, we just, quite frankly, we use the argument, we're covered under grace anyway, so I can do what I want. We don't address sin because it's uncomfortable. I fear too often in the church, which may be better phrased by organized religion, we do not want to talk about or address sin because it offends. And yet, brothers and sisters, when you read the New Testament, Jesus talked about sin. I could give you all kinds of illustrations. I'll give you one very quickly because you all know this. When he said to the woman, go and sin no more. He talked about sin. Peter, James, John, Paul talked about sin. And so I wonder sometimes in the church, why don't we talk about sin? Because Jesus did, and I fear that too often, well, we might just drive somebody away. We might step on somebody's toes and make them mad, and well, they'll just not want anything to do with church. And I understand that, but I would say this in that conversation. The wages of sin is death. And if we never address it, we will die in our sins. And I am talking about eternally separated from God. That's pretty serious stuff. And so, I don't want us to be guilty of saying, well, the grace of God covers all my sin, which is a true statement, but then take that as a license to keep living in sin. Paul addressed God's goodness and grace. They're free and wonderful, and I praise God for that. But God's grace does not give the believer a license to keep living in sin. That's the point I'm trying to make. Verse 20 of chapter 5 in Romans, Paul said this before he got to Romans 6 that I just read. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, just what I said, the law was there to enlighten us to the transgressions against God. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. This is good news. Because even though now the law has enlightened me to all kinds of things like pride and lust and covetousness and sexual immorality and lying and stealing and backbiting and all this stuff, it's enlightened to me now that's all sin. The grace of God is above all that. But what he's saying here, as I started us in chapter 6, 1, his grace does not give us a license to keep living like that. 1 John chapter 3, I want to go there before I close. In the last few minutes I've got, 1 John chapter 3, get John's perspective on this. I'm picking it up at verse 4, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. When John says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he, that's Jesus, was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. We all know that. Jesus was born a human, died on the cross. That means God incarnate, manifested, as God came to earth to die for our sin so we wouldn't have to die in it. That's what John is saying. We all know that. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him, that's Jesus, there is no sin. Now look at what he says in verse 6. Whoever abides in him, that's Jesus. Whoever has been born of God is being led by the Holy Spirit, who has embraced Christ, abides in him. That whole picture is made much more clear in John chapter 15 when he talks about the vine and the branches abiding. But John says here, whoever abides in Jesus does not sin. We say, Jim, that's impossible. I think that's part of the problem. I think we give in and give up before we give the Holy Spirit of God a chance to work in our lives and make us new. John says this, whoever abides in him, have you been born of God? Have you repented of sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I am a sinner, I need a Savior. Please, O God, save me and set me on a new course in life. If we have done that and if we have made that conscious decision to follow him, that is our abiding. And John says, if we are abiding in him, in his word, praying, walking with him, getting with other believers, just like I said last week from Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47, if we are doing that, John says, whoever abides in the Son of God does not sin. Then he says, if that's not enough, if that don't get on my toes, which it does, then he says, whoever sins, keeps doing it, neither has seen him nor known him. That's pretty strong language. That makes me squirm a little. And like I said last week, I think I said it to the earlier service, we might feel, Jim, I don't like that. And I don't like what you're saying, and I ain't even coming back. This is not the word of Jim. This is the word of God. He calls us to address sin. When we are outside of Christ, we're lost in our sin. We're on the broad road that leads to destruction. We're on our way to hell. That's outside of Christ. But praise be to God, because what he's accomplished on the cross, we can be in Christ, we can abide in him, and when we are, he challenges us to walk with him, to follow him, to love him, to abide in him, and when we do, we say no to sin. Amen. That's what he says. And if we don't say no to sin, if it's sin doesn't bother me no more, John's statement then is, you've not seen him, and you don't know him. And then John says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, that's Jesus, is righteous. But he who sins is of the devil. That's not that appealing. Is it appealing to you? It's not that appealing to me. I don't want to be of the devil. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Then John says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, he says again. For his seed, that's Jesus, remains in him. That's who's been born of God. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And you're probably like me and saying, boy, I don't know, Jim. I don't know. I'm simply telling us, friends, that when we are in Christ, it's a brand new day. We're not in a this pathway called life alone anymore. Because when we really repent of sin, when we really decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us and He gives us the wherewithal to say no to sin and say yes to His leading. It's a brand new day. But I fear too oftentimes, and it's even happening in the church today, we don't want to go by this. It's too old, it's too hard, it's whatever. I fear too often, not only in society, but in the church today, we have not only said no to sin, we have embraced and celebrated many kinds of sin, even in the church. Now, let me just say this, and I'll quit. I've said enough. I've given you some things to think about. There's good news. Jesus died for our sin. That's good news. But at some point, we've got to address that. Father, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm outside of You. I know I've been doing things on my own and not according to Your will. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He is the Savior of the world, and I know I need Him. At some point, we've got to get to that point and decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when we do, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us and makes us aware. And so let me say this. When we do come to faith in Christ and get serious with Jesus, sin should be abhorrent to us. When I step across the line from temptation to sin, whether that's covetousness or lust or stealing or lying or anything else, pride, oh, the miserable pride is always raising up its head in my life. When I step across that line from temptation to sin, that should be disgusting to me because I am living in the Spirit of God and no longer in the flesh. And sin should be abhorrent to all believers who have put their faith in Christ. When I step across the line into sin, it should be abhorrent to me. I have sinned against God. Forgive me and get back on the track following Jesus, saying no to sin. It should be abhorrent to us. And I don't know about you, friends, but personally, I want to follow Jesus according to the book. That's what I want to do, and I want to encourage us to do the same, to follow Jesus according to the book. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about you can work your way to heaven by being good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born of God, recognizing I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, being born of God and recognizing the truth and wanting to be obedient to the Word of God and the Son of God and the Spirit of God because I'm joint heirs with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. The Apostle Paul said to us, don't use grace, church people, as a crutch and an excuse to keep sinning. Don't do that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, no, don't. And so the Apostle Paul says, don't use grace as an excuse. And the Apostle John says, if we're just going to keep on sinning, obviously, we don't even know Him. I said this last week, friends. Let me say it again today. I can't manufacture in you a desire to follow Jesus. That's between you and God. All I can do is point us to what His Word says and remind us. And it says some things about sin. What you do with that is between you and God. But I hope that you'll take the time to get into the Word of God and recognize how beautiful it is. I pray that you'll take the time to surrender to the Son of God. Allow the Holy Spirit of God come into you and start helping you see things differently. Eternity depends on what you decide about Jesus. I said this last week too, and I'll say it again. Jesus was not looking for converts. He was looking for followers. What do I mean by converts? The argument, well, I said a prayer once, I'm good to go. Jesus is looking for people that will deny themselves and follow Him and His Word, which means obedient to what He said. That's what Jesus is looking for. And further, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, you can look this up. He said, not everybody that has said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What He's saying there is simply, there's going to be churches with folks sitting in them and hanging our proverbial hat on, well, I went to church, well, I was a pretty good person, well, I signed on the membership roll, well, I got my baptism certificate in hand. There'll be people that stand before God on that day and He will say, I never knew you. And the reason He will say that is because of what He said. On that day, there'll be people that says, Lord, Lord. And He will respond to them, I never knew you. Why? Because of what He said in the prior verse. They didn't understand the will of God. They didn't understand what it took to follow. They didn't understand what it took to surrender. They never understood repentance and addressing sin. There will be people on Judgment Day that all through their life they thought it was all just fine because, well, I went to church once in a while or something. Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Have you surrendered your lives to Jesus? Have you repented of sin? Have you made that conscious decision? I am going to follow Jesus, and with his help, and by the grace of God, I will follow the best way I can. Because if you haven't, that's where it starts, friends. And if you have made that conscious decision to repent of sin and receive Christ by faith, and sin is still bogging you down, then let God's Spirit, His Word, and a brother or sister help you be accountable and grow in the newness of life. You saw what John read as well as I saw. If we keep sinning, John says, you don't even know Him. Let a brother or sister, if you're a woman, a sister, if you're a man, a brother, help you be accountable, look at the Word, and grow out of who you used to be, who I used to be, into who He wants us to be. We're going to sing one verse of this last song. And I simply challenge you today, friends, have you really decided to follow Jesus? Are you really willing to address sin? Because that's what He asks of us. Jesus has done the hard part. Will you surrender and trust in Him completely and allow His Spirit to move you into that new creation?
Let us pray. Our loving Father, as we move from this place into our mission field this week, Holy Spirit, fall upon us with an extra measure of conviction in those areas that we still cling to that are interrupting our relationship with You. May it be as we even read on the back of our bulletin, that word abandoned. May we be sold out and abandoned to You and forsake those things, that those sins that so easily entangle us and weigh us down. Help us to stop listening to the world who justifies these behaviors. And may we cling to you and your truths, that we may be clean and sober and vigilant in the ways that you instruct us in your word. Guide us, Holy Spirit, and give us the power and the ability to be examples of Jesus and his light to the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.